My Life with Sri Bhagavan by Sampurnamma. Sampurnamma, who was widowed as a young girl, took refuge at the feet of Sri Bhagavan and found solace in his gracious presence. Born in Tiruchudi, she arrived in Tiruvannamalai in 1928 and imbibed the grace that flowed continually from her guru. In 1989, she shared her reminiscences in a video recorded by Dennis and James Hartle, in which she speaks to J. Jayaraman. She describes her initial meeting and the glorious time spent with Sri Bhagavan while involved in kitchen duties, as well as the kindness that was showered upon her by Bhagavan. This entire video in Tamil, in which we see Sampurnamma's radiant smile, can be viewed on Arunachala Ashrama's YouTube channel. I was born in Tiruchudi, where my father-in-law was an inspector. Bhagavan's father, being a lawyer, used to come to him quite often. I lived in Tiruchudi for 3 to 4 years. Though I lived in the same town, I had not seen Maharishi. I was 13 years old when I was married. I lived in my father-in-law's house only for 2 years. When I was 15, my husband passed away. It was at the age of 28 that I came to Bhagavan. My sister was married to a doctor, son of Tiruchudi's Lakshmi Ammar. In those days, my brother-in-law and my sister's mother-in-law used to say that the boy who used to live in Tiruchudi had become a great saint and now lived in Tiruvannamalai. Though I was repeatedly persuaded to go and see the saint at Tiruvannamalai, I came here only in 1928. I was born in 1900, and I remember coming here when I was 28 years old. So, it was in 1928 that I came here. By then, the old hall was already built and Dandapani Swami was in charge. Seeing me, he introduced me to Bhagavan as a relative, Sambandhi, a close relative of our Tiruchudi Lakshmi Ammar. This is how I was first introduced to Sri Bhagavan. As soon as I was introduced, Bhagavan gave a happy smile and said, "Varatum, varatum. She is welcome, she is welcome." I had come with a return ticket, which was valid for 15 days. I stayed for 15 days. While I was here, I had my menstrual period, so I had to be away for 3 days. Tenamma, who was working in the kitchen, was preparing special food for me. She was grinding the chutney when Bhagavan came into the dining hall. Seeing that, he asked Tenamma what she was doing. When she informed Bhagavan that due to the pollution of my period, the kitchen was serving me HMS rice and the chutney outdoors, Bhagavan was annoyed and said, "There is no pollution. Give her ashram food. Why do you segregate her like this?" My next visit was only after a year, and that also happened in a beautiful way. It seems here at the ashram, they were contemplating writing and asking me to come and help in the kitchen. At that time, Sri Seshayar from my village was coming to Thiruvannamalai and asked me to accompany him as he had many children. The moment I entered the hall, Bhagavan remarked, "See, you wanted to write to her? She has already arrived." Bhagavan asked me to stay on and entrusted me to Tenamma and said that I should be properly looked after. Bhagavan took charge of my safety and it was a great boon for me. I had to go back as I had some land and the revenue from it was my livelihood. I also had my old mother who needed looking after. Often I would go back to my village to collect the revenue from the land and buy supplies that my sister and mother would need while I was away. Whenever I would receive a letter from my mother, I would go back to purchase the supplies for them. Bhagavan used to tease me saying, "Where is the letter? Where is the letter for me?" This was Bhagavan's affection for me. Bhagavan and I used to cut vegetables, make paste, and make other preparations for cooking. Even for dosa, we used to grind together. It was a great joy to work with Bhagavan. She says all this with great joy and laughter. Bhagavan also was always in a joyful mood. Even a few words spoken by Bhagavan or a stay of few seconds with him used to take away whatever sorrowful or dejected mood we were in. That was a great gift of Bhagavan. In those days, there was water scarcity for 6 months. So, it was difficult to do cooking during this time. Bhagavan then had a well dug, after which there was no water scarcity. I stayed on for 5 years. It was delightful to work with Bhagavan. Early in the morning, Bhagavan would come with other sadhus to cut all the vegetables. At 5 o'clock or so, when I arrived, he would give me instructions for the day. Tenamma and I, and later on Subbalakshmi, prepared all the 3 meals of the day: breakfast, lunch and dinner. The food was all prepared by us, and I also had to serve Bhagavan. He liked it very much and insisted that I should serve him. Bhagavan's way of cooking was also very delightful. One time, he asked me to cook the skin of the brinjal eggplant. I argued that it was too thick and wouldn't cook properly. He convinced me that I should cook it and it would turn out all right. When it did not cook, I went to the hall once or twice to tell him it was still not cooked. He came, started stirring it, and surprisingly, it was cooked nicely. In those days, everything was fun. We would be halfway through cooking, and some devotee would come and bring fresh vegetables. Bhagavan would insist that they be cut immediately and added to already cooking dishes. I used to protest, saying that it would not mix well with the other vegetables. Bhagavan, however, would make me add it to the half-cooked dish, and it would all cook evenly and blend nicely. I have seen this wonder taking place. Bhagavan made a pregnant statement that should be remembered. He said that it should not be cooked in this fire, meaning the stomach, but in that fire, meaning actual outside fire. In those days, Goshala, cowshed, was at the place where the present-day gentleman's guest house is. It was only a thatched shed. Then the Pandi Swami, the father-in-law of Muruganar, was afraid of tigers coming and taking the cattle. He built a wall, and later the Goshala was built. Next came the Veda Patasala. Slowly, more buildings started coming up. The cooking used to be completed in 2 hours, unlike now, when it takes 10 hours. I would come in the early morning. At times, we were preparing idlis also. Then, Samatata came, and he was given the job of making idlis. So, we could come to the kitchen later at 7 a.m. and finish the work of cooking in the next 2 hours. I would serve breakfast and lunch, and then in the evening at 7 p.m. serve supper to Bhagavan. I would then go back to town, as women were not allowed to stay in the ashram at night. Bhagavan used to be seated on a sofa, and I used to sit on the western side of the hall. In those days, there were 2 entrances, one of which is now closed with a window. I had a fixed seat in the hall. One day, Seshaya, the advocate from the town of Kakinada, had come. He used to help in the management and for some time was the Sarvadhikari. He came and sat in my place. So, when I entered the hall, I stood on the side. Seeing this, Bhagavan sent a word through the attendant to Seshaya to move so I could sit down. Seshaya, however, did not vacate the seat and said that I should find another seat. Bhagavan was vexed and shouted at him, "Get up and give her the seat. Go and show your lawyership and officialdom in your office." Bhagavan took such personal care of me. He always sought to make convenience, safety and joy. Even in my childhood, I had come to know about the Ribhu Gita and always carried a copy of it. Once I was reading it in the kitchen. Bhagavan, on noticing what I was reading, said, "What will you understand if you read it here?" That is, in the kitchen. "You should read it there." That is, the hall. As Bhagavan was always seated there, my other women friends who worked in the kitchen with me were overjoyed and said, "Bhagavan himself is asking you to come to the hall and read there. Go and read there." I was reluctant, thinking that how could I come and read in the presence of Bhagavan. When I went to the hall, Bhagavan took the book from me to put a new cover on it. Noticing that chapter 38 had only 2 verses printed instead of the entire 50, Bhagavan wrote them down himself. Then he bound the book, put on a new cover, and returned it to me, saying, "Don't throw it away, guard it and preserve it." Bhagavan was particular that we should assemble in the evening to do the Parayana of Aksharamanamali. The Pappadam song, Upadesha Saram, and Ulladu Narpudu. He wouldn't sing with us, but if we made a mistake, he would not hesitate to correct it and teach us the right pronunciation. Oh, what's the use of my discussing it all now? It was so joyous then. I used to read the Ribbu Gita in Tamil. I can read Tamil well, but I don't know English. Once I read Sutamuni as Sutakmuni. Bhagavan corrected me and said, Sutak means blood, and that would then mean the saint of blood. So then I corrected myself and read it as Sutamuni. The 48 handwritten verses of Ribbu Gita by Bhagavan are now in my family's shrine room and are preserved and worshipped by them. I came to Tiruvannamalai 4 years after the passing of Seshadri Swami, but all my relatives knew him. In appearance, he looked like a madman. The town shopkeepers used to take him to the shops, and it brought prosperity to them. He would go into town and eat anywhere he liked or refuse to eat anything. His behavior was abnormal, but almost everyone knew that he was a saint. Bhagavan himself went to his samadhi after he passed away. At the time of the internment of his body, though all his relatives were there, there was some commotion. So Bhagavan went and stood there to supervise the internment ceremony. Every day, on some pretext or other, Bhagavan used to talk to me, and it gave me a lot of joy. Bhagavan used to say that Sampurna means fullness everywhere, and it was good that I had been given that name. Since I did a lot of cooking and serving, Bhagavan said jokingly, "It is good that your name is Sampurna or fullness." Lokamma, who worked in the kitchen with me, also asked Bhagavan for the meaning of her name. Bhagavan said, "Loka means that which appears. Sampurna means that which is full." Sometimes Bhagavan used to give me specific instructions about cooking, and on the rare occasion I would forget, Bhagavan would send an attendant to remind me. Bhagavan's mother was an excellent cook. I know he learned cooking from his mother, because if I made some dish very well, while testing it, he would say, "Ha, you have made this dish just like my mother used to make it." Bhagavan wanted everything to be cooked to the maximum. Spinach, eggplants, everything. Bhagavan did not use much tamarind, and he also did not like sweets. He liked savories and mildly hot dishes like Mysore rasam and vepambu, neem flower rasam. These are all well-known dishes of our ashram. Bhagavan made the Mysore rasam so tasty that you would feel satisfied just by looking at it. He did not like bitter gourd mixed with jaggery. Now, they usually mix the two, so the gourd won't be so bitter. Bhagavan wanted the bitter taste to remain. A dog used to sleep next to Bhagavan, and there were two sparrows at Bhagavan's side in the hall. Even when people tried to drive them away, they would come back Once he noticed that the dog had been chased away. He remarked, "Just because you are in the body of a human, you think you are human, and you think he is a dog. Just because he is in the body of a dog, why don't you think of him as a Mahatma and treat him as a great person? Would you treat him like a dog?" I never had any fear in talking to Bhagavan. Just as now I talk with everyone, I used to talk to Bhagavan. Those were golden days. Things have changed now. Bhagavan was very affectionate towards me, very kind, understanding, sympathetic, and always cooperative, blessing me with his kindness and graciousness. I don't know how to repay Bhagavan for the grace he showered on me. I will tell you one incident showing how he took care of me. Once I went for Giri Pradakshina and did not return till 12 o'clock. At Adi Annamalai, I had met someone and stayed on to have food with them. At 12 o'clock, when I returned, Bhagavan was standing at the gate and said, "I did not know if you took the right route or had gone towards Vellore." I was anxious. So glorious it is 60 years, I think, since I came. The days I spent with Bhagavan are memorable days indeed. Somehow, in my old age, I am pulling on with Bhagavan in my heart and his name on my tongue.